my heart. You just don't know what you have meant to me and still mean to me over the years. And we appreciate you so much. And I am warmed today with encouragement over what I'm seeing here at Sand Hill. It's good to see a house, at least, mostly full. We don't see that these days. I'm invited to speak at different churches, and I tell you, when you go into them, you sense the discouragement. A lot of encouragement needed today. I was invited to preach at one church not too long ago. And as you go into it, you can sense a discouragement that is there. And the Lord had led me to preach a message that morning on encouragement. And emphasizing that the Lord looks favorably upon all his children, even though they may be small in number. That you can worship God in small numbers. And that morning, I preached both services. That night, we came back. There was a man came to me, and he said, if nobody else got anything from that message I did, it was meant for me. He said, I was thinking seriously about leaving this church, going to another, but now I'm not. I'm going to stay with it. But it's good. I'm not used to preaching to a congregation like this. I'm kind of nervous, you know. But I'm glad. I'm happy about it. I love your pastor. Man, he's a fine man. He's a fine man of God, and you are fortunate to have him. And I know he's enjoying time away, but I know he loves you. And you love him, and that's great and wonderful. Well, the message today, I'm looking at uncertainty and incertainty. Uncertainty and incertainty. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read the first two verses in the bulletin. This is what I gave to Mike. He called me and asked me about the scriptures. But let's read verse 1 of 1 John and verse 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Watch that word know. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now we live with a lot of uncertainties in life, as you all know. I don't have to tell you that. You know about uncertainties in life. And we don't live with many certainties. But we live with a lot of uncertainties. We're uncertain about what's going to happen in life. We're uncertain who's going to be elected president this year. You know, it's election year. And all kind of politicking is going on. We're not certain. We're not certain who's going to be the Democratic nominee. We don't know who's going to run against President Trump. And we're just not certain about the coronavirus. Somebody's already been talking about that this morning. We don't know what's going to happen about that. We know it's bad. We know that because the people are dying from it. People are getting real sick from it. It's bad stuff. And so we don't know what's going to become of that. The medical field is feverishly working, trying to come up with something to treat it with and a vaccine to prevent it. So we hope they do and hope and pray they will. But we're uncertain. We're uncertain about what's going to happen the next minute. We're uncertain about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, James says, make your plans. We do that. We plan, you're going to work tomorrow, you plan to go to work. Whatever you plan to do it. But James says, you plan to do this and that and the other, but preface it, if it be God's will, I'll do it. We don't know if we'll be able to carry it out. Somebody said there are two things that are certain in life, and that's taxes. One of them, taxes. And it's just tax return time, isn't it? Hope you get a bunch back. I don't look to get none, but I look to pay some. Everybody pays taxes. And the politicians, some of the politicians says we're not getting enough of your money. We want some more of it. So they said, we're going to tax you. We're going to get some more. So we're certain of taxes. And another thing we're certain of is death. We're certain that death is a reality because you look at the cemetery. You look at the funeral home. And death is real. It is certain that that's going to happen if the Lord tarries. When the Lord comes, then that'll stop. But until then, we're going to be dealing with death. For the Bible says it's appointed that the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. But we are certain that death, that there are people who would like to live in denial of it. There are people who don't want to have nothing to do with it. I've heard people say, I don't do funeral homes. I don't go to funeral homes. I don't go to funerals. I don't have anything to do that's associated with death. I'm reminded of some years back, we was pastoring up in North Carolina. A lady in the church passed away, and we had her funeral on Sunday afternoon. Well, the burial was be over in High Point, North Carolina, so the funeral director and myself rode over there in the hearse with the body, and that was before today's GPS, he had few directions, but he didn't know exactly how to get to the cemetery. So we were riding around there trying to find it, and we saw this woman walking on the sidewalk. And he said, why don't we ask this woman where the cemetery is? So we stopped, and she said, yeah, I know where it is. She said, this way, that way. She said, I tell you what, I can show you better than I can tell you. And so she said, it'd be all right if I ride with you. Oh, yeah. Well, she got in. And then it dawned on her what she was riding in. she didn't, it's all of a sudden she froze. And she turned to me and she said, "Do you all have a," couldn't say it back there. "Yeah, yes, ma'am, we do." And she had told us, said, "Now, you give me a ride, have to give me a ride back when we get to the cemetery, get through at the cemetery." Okay. So we went on over there and had the service and got back in the hearse, and we were sitting there waiting on her to come. Finally, she came walking up. She says, "You all can go ahead. I'll get another ride." Do you want anything to do with death or associated with it, but it's real. It's certain. It's certain. But here John talks about some uncertain things, and then there are some certainties. He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God?" That's certain. We're certain of that because of the love of God, because of verse 1. We're certain that we are children of God. And that's the most wonderful position that we could have, to be children of God. I'd rather be a child of God than to be the child of the greatest person on earth. Because God is the greatest. And if he loved me enough to make me his child, then I'd rather be that than anything else. I don't want to be in any other position I'd rather be in than to be a child of God. And he says, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the children of God. It's not a matter of having to wait till we die to see if we are going to be children of God. He says, right now you are, and you can be certain that when you die, you'll be with me forever, because he promised that an eternal life to all who would believe. So he says, now. You don't have to wait. I've heard people say, I don't know if I'm going to get there or not. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Well, John says, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are his children, and his children are going to go where he is. And so he said, now are we. That's for certain. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God and to be certain that we are his forever. Notice what else he says. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I have several books on heaven. Maybe you do. There's some, surely some in your library. On what is going on in heaven, or what will go on in heaven. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of speculation as to what we will look like. There's a lot of speculation as to what our loved ones look like that are gone on. You know, we're so earthly that that's the way we think. We think in heaven in terms of the earthly, and that we can't help that because that's all we've ever known. But John says here, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. I'd like to think that I know, but I don't. I'd like to know what's going on up there. I'd like to know what our loved ones is going on. I'd like to know what they're doing. I'd like to know what they look like, wouldn't you? But I don't. John said, we don't. And if John doesn't know, then I don't. And I don't know what it looked like. We have our earthly ideas about what the loved ones are doing. We can see them walking down the street to go. We can see them having a great time. I'm sure they are. But in what form are they? What do they look like? You say, well, they look like they did when they left here. They don't. They don't. What does Paul say? He says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body. That is the body. They are here. And wherever they're buried, that's where they are. That's where the bodies are. But the soul, the spirit, the real being is gone on to be with the Lord, and with the Lord, and in what form we don't know. But we can be assured that they're having the greatest time of their life. And we might say, well, he's given them a new body. He hadn't yet. It's still here. But he's coming one day, and he's going to raise this body, and he's going to give it a new body. And that will be the eternal glorified body. So we can be, we're not certain then what we will look like. We're not certain what we will be. We're not certain what our loved ones look like. So John said there's some uncertainties here. But notice what he says in the next phrase. But we know that when he shall appear, that is Jesus, we shall be like him. We know that, but we don't know what he looks like. You say, well, the disciples saw him, a lot of other people saw him while he was here on earth. That's right. And the disciples and some others saw him either was resurrected, saw him in his resurrected body. Yeah, they did. And the disciples saw him as he led them up on the Mount of Olives and he ascended back into heaven. They saw him ascend back in his resurrected body. But John said, we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Well, what's he like? He is in his glorified body, and we don't know what that looks like. He is in his glorified body. But to know that we will look like him is enough for me. That's enough for me. I don't need to know what he looks like. I'm just looking forward to seeing for the first time and what he looks like. And John said, when he comes, we're going to see him. And we're going to see him as he is. That's my next phrase. We shall be like him. Like him. Folks, I'm telling you, that's exciting. The thing that we'll be just like him. We'll have a body like he is. That's wonderful. And I'm looking forward to that. And you say, well, how is he going to do it? I don't know. He has the power to do it. And he will do it. Because he said he would. We can be certain of God, be certain of his word. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Lord's not going to take on something different than what he is now to come back and get us. He's going to be what he is now. He's going to be forever. We're going to be in his presence forever. And we'll have a glorified body like he is. That's certainty. We're not certain of a lot of things, but we can be certain of God. We can be certain that he is as good as his word. We can be certain that he has the power to do all he said he would do for us. We can be certain that when we die, our souls will be delivered from this body to be with him. We'll be certain of that. He said so. We can be certain that whenever we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. We belong to him because he said so. We can be certain of God. Now, like I said, there are a lot of other things we can't be certain about. And we live in a world like that. But we can be certain of God. He's real. And it's all. It's all because of verse 1 here. All because of verse 1 that this is all possible. For he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love. Now that's a little different subject than what we've been talking about. But this love, you know, John says it's a manner. It's a type of love. It's like a foreign love. It's a love that the human race didn't know nothing about till God came and gave it. It's a love of God that we humans don't know about until he sheds it abroad. It's like a love coming from a foreign country. It's love that came from heaven down to man. It's a love that says, when he's dying on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a love that loves your enemies. It's a love that prays for your enemies. It's a love that Jesus had. He died on the cross for us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. That's the kind of love it is. We, as humans, with human love, have different kind of affectionate love for family, for friends, and all, but we also don't want, as human, don't want to take it much further than that. When it comes to our enemies, we don't love for enemies. We don't want to forgive one another. You're human. But this foreign love, this manner of love that came from God, and when we believe it shed abroad in our hearts, enables us to love the unlovable, like Jesus did and does. So all this that we can be certain of comes as a result of his love for us. And we can be certain that we're going to heaven. We can be certain that we're going to look like him. We can be certain that we're going to see him because of this manner of love that came. And he said, I give that to you, in you, and because of this, you become my children when I give it to you. And he says, the world is not going to like you not a bit more than it like me. It's not going to understand you a bit more than it understands me. If we if the world sees us forgiving one another, forgiving those who offended, they don't see that. But because of the love of God in our hearts, we can do that. And so that makes it possible for us to have hope in this life and in that to come. We can have blessed assurance because Jesus is mine, the psalm writer says. And so let's find our hope in the certainty that we have of God. He is never going to let us down. He's never going to change his word. He's always going to be true to that. So we can put our faith and trust in a God who we know loves us, cares for us, and is going to see us through this life and on into the next, and on into eternity. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. Are you his child today? I ask you that because there may be a possibility that some may be here that's not. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What a glorious opportunity it is to come and say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he is God's son. I believe he died on the cross for me and he shed his blood for me while I was yet a sinner. He died for me and I'm trusting him today as my Lord and Savior. You're here today, you've never done that. We invite you to come and give your life to Jesus. Today you may feel the need of some other decision, rededication of your life. You come, as we sing, Rhonda, we're going to sing a hymn, and you come as the Lord leads you.
Number 281, Speak to My Heart.